The Book of Daniel, number 191, the prophetic tapestry of Daniel 11, unveiling the intricacies of Trump's era and the prelude to the Sunday Law. Key takeaways. The article delves into the intricate prophetic landscape of Daniel chapter 11, particularly focusing on verses 10 to 23 and their alignment with the hidden history encapsulated in verse 40. It highlights the pivotal role of Donald Trump's presidency, marked by significant events such as his two impeachments and the controversial 2020 election, within the broader prophetic narrative leading up to the Sunday Law. The discussion extends to the Ukrainian War, Trump's political campaigns, and the spiritual warfare symbolized by the Maccabean Revolt, drawing parallels between these historical and contemporary events. The article underscores the urgency of recognizing and preparing for the unfolding prophetic events, as they signal the nearing end times and the culmination of God's judgment. Daniel 11:10-23 is intricately linked with the hidden history in verse 40, framing the prophetic significance of events from 1989 to the impending Sunday Law. Donald Trump's presidency, characterized by two impeachments and the contentious 2020 election, is depicted as a significant fulfillment of these prophecies, stirring global and spiritual turmoil. The Ukrainian War, initiated in 2014, is presented as a precursor to Trump's political endeavors, reflecting a broader conflict between globalist and nationalist forces. Trump's three presidential campaigns are prophesied to encapsulate his rise, fall, and resurgence within the prophetic framework, paralleling the historical Battle of Panium and the Maccabean Revolt. The article draws parallels between the Maccabean Revolt, the formation of the image of the beast, and the contemporary spiritual battles, emphasizing the critical role of understanding and preparing for these end-time events. The sealing of the 144,000 and the impending Sunday Law are highlighted as pivotal moments in the prophetic timeline, marking the climax of God's judgment and the final division of humanity. The narrative calls for heightened spiritual vigilance and preparation, stressing the imminent fulfillment of these prophecies and the urgency of recognizing the signs of the times. Rightly understood, verses 10 through 23 of Daniel chapter 11 all align with the hidden history of verse 40 of the same chapter. Verse 40 consists of the history of 1989 unto verse 41. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 11 begin in 1989 and identify Donald Trump's first campaign for the presidency in 2015 through to 2020, when the election was stolen from Trump by the beast of atheism. Those two verses identify the struggle that begins when Trump stirs up all the realm of Grisha. Trump's campaign began a warfare that ran all through his first presidency. The House of Representatives impeached him in December 2019, then they did so again on January 13, 2020. In both cases, the Senate rejected the House's efforts. Yet he is the only president in the history of the United States to be impeached twice. Globalism had been stirred up. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Daniel 11:2. As with verse 40, verse 2 leaves a hidden history from Trump's first campaign and term as president that concluded on January 20th, 2021. From that day in 2021 until verse 3, when Alexander the Great is introduced as a symbol of the United Nations, the seventh kingdom of Bible prophecy, the history from the 2021 inauguration unto the Sunday Law, where the threefold union is established, represents a hidden history. The hidden histories of verse 40 and verse 2 both lead up to and conclude at the Sunday Law. Verse 10 brings us again to the time of the end in 1989, just as did verse 1, and both identify the conclusion of the actual testimony of verse 40, though there is still history between the conclusion in verse 40 and the soon coming Sunday Law. More than identifying 1989, verse 10 becomes the key that brings together three witnesses to the history of verse 40, which complements the work of the papacy and its proxy power, the United States, in sweeping away the Soviet Union in 1989. Those three witnesses establish an important element of the prophetic structure of verse 40 from 1989 unto the Sunday law. The historical prophetic structure of a war between a king of the north and a king of the south, with the king of the north overflowing and passing over, is identified in verse 40 and also in verse 10. The historical prophetic structure is complemented by the grammatical witness that the overflowing and passing over by the king of the north against the king of the south is the identical Hebrew phrase in both verses, as it is in the third witness found in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 8. In verse 10, the king of the north shall certainly come and overflow and pass through, and in verse 40, the king of the north shall overflow and pass over. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8, the king of the north shall overflow and go over. The three expressions are the identical Hebrew, which was translated slightly different, while maintaining the identical meaning. The king of the south in verse 10 was Ptolemy's Egypt, but in verse 40, the king of the south was spiritual Egypt, the king of atheism, the Soviet Union, and in Isaiah, the southern kingdom of Judah was the king of the south. Respectively, the king of the north was the Seleucid Empire, then the papacy, and in Isaiah it was Assyria. In two of the three parallel verses, the point where the king of the north's invasion ends is specifically identified. In verse 10, it ends at the fortress, which was historically fulfilled when the Seleucids ended their campaign at the border of Egypt, for the prophetic word identified that the king of the north shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up, even to his fortress. The fortress represented Egypt, which was the capital of their kingdom. In Isaiah 8, Sennacherib shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck. The capital, the king, and the head are all interchangeable symbols that have been established upon two witnesses in the very passage where Sennacherib came up to Jerusalem. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Isaiah 7:8-9. Syria is the nation, Damascus is the capital city, and Rezin is the king, and the capital and king are interchangeable symbols. The capital and king are both heads. When Sennacherib came up to the neck of Judah, he came to Jerusalem and stopped, for he stopped at the head, which is supported by the neck. When the Seleucids came against Ptolemy, they stopped at the fortress, and the fortress was the nation of Egypt. Verse 10 of Daniel 11 and verse 8 of Isaiah 8, in the context of verses 8 and 9 of chapter 7 of Isaiah, represent two witnesses that, when the king of the north in verse 40 of Daniel 11 overflowed and passed over the king of the south in 1989, that the head, the nation which was the capital of the southern kingdom, Russia, was left standing. The fortress of verse 10 is the key to identifying the current Ukrainian war, and also the fact that Russia will be victorious. Yet the prophetic application which establishes this truth is directly connected with and based fully upon the very same verses that were unsealed for Hiram Edson, which were published in the Review and Herald articles in 1856. The articles identify the 7 times of Leviticus 26. Since July of 2023, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah has revealed from those very same verses that both of the 2,500 and 20-year prophecies against the northern and southern kingdoms represent not only a period of scattering, but they also illustrate the very work of Christ in accomplishing the joining of divinity with humanity. In that revelation, it is identified that the head is the higher nature of man. The head is the fortress in the human temple, which Sister White identifies as the citadel of the soul. A citadel is a fortress. It is therefore established that the external fortress of Daniel chapter 11 verse 10 also represents an internal fortress. When the war external in Ukraine began in 2014, the intrusion of the satanic teachings that came from Down Under and Wales internal were introduced in the movement of Future for America, and the sealing process had reached another step. By 2020, both the Republican and the Protestant horns were slain in the streets of that great city, where also our Lord was crucified. In 2020, Donald Trump had failed in his second presidential campaign, and the tarrying time of the 10 virgins had arrived. In 2022, Trump officially began his third presidential campaign, and his first successful presidential campaign represents his last. In 2023, a voice from the wilderness began to speak to the dead, dry bones. Verses 13 through 15 take up the history after the Ukrainian war by Putin, though the victory will not benefit him, as Russia repeats the history of Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon's exile and conclusion was typified by King Uzziah's exile and conclusion, who also was not strengthened by his military victories, and who prefigured Ptolemy IV of verses 11 and 12, both of whom were not strengthened by their military victories. Both Uzziah and Ptolemy IV sought to make offerings in the temple, and both were prevented from doing so. King Uzziah was struck with leprosy on his forehead as he attempted to do so. The mark on his forehead not only represents the mark of the beast, but it also typified the first king of the South in 1989, who also went into a type of exile when he, Gorbachev, left the Soviet Union to become part of the United Nations. As with King Uzziah, Gorbachev had a significant mark on his forehead. King Uzziah, King Ptolemy IV, Napoleon, and Gorbachev all typify Putin's end. All four were southern kings that ended their own specific dynasties, typifying the end of Putin's Russia. Then verses 13 to 15 open up the testimony that began in 200 BC and typifies the third and last term of Donald Trump, who represents the Republican horn. Verse 14 marks when the papacy begins to sing her songs of fornication as the whore of Tyre, and verse 15 identifies the line of the apostate Protestant horn with the history of the Maccabees. The three verses contain three prophetic lines. The history of the Maccabees is not hidden, as is the end of verse 2 unto verse 3, or as the end of verse 40 unto verse 41, but the line is at minimum obscure at first investigation. Yet in that rather vague prophetic history, the League of the Jews with Rome is set forth, and it identifies the formation of the image of the beast. The formation of the image of the beast is also typified in the hidden history of Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, which he could not remember, and which Daniel, under threat of death, was required to interpret without knowing the dream. The prayer of Daniel and the three worthies in chapter 2 represent the prayer for external light that complements Daniel's chapter 9, prayer for internal transformation. The line of the Maccabees aligns with the hidden secret of Daniel chapter 2. The secret of Daniel 2 provides the first prophetic witness to the prophetic enigma of the eighth being of the seven, which contributes to the revelation of the resurrection of the two witnesses in Revelation 11. The resurrection of the two witnesses in connection with the eighth being of the seven establishes that in the parallel history of the Millerites and the 144,000, the reverse transitioning of the Millerites unto Laodicea aligns with the 144,000 transitioning from Laodicea unto Philadelphia. The obscure line of the Maccabees and the hidden dream of Nebuchadnezzar were all specifically sealed up until after the process of resurrecting the two witnesses began in 2023. They are unsealed just before the hour of the great earthquake, which marks the close of probation for Seventh-day Adventists. The test that those Adventists must pass before they receive the seal of God and before probation closes is the test associated with the formation of the image of the beast. The line of the Maccabees, Nebuchadnezzar's secret dream, the enigma of the eighth being of the seven, and the earth beast's two horns all contribute to the testing process that is accomplished when the image of the beast is formed. The recognition of these lines as truths that are in some prophetic way hidden truths is what proves that they are the truths that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is currently unsealing. The unsealing of the identification of the two witnesses, which represent the Republican and Protestant horns of the earth beast of Revelation 13, accompanied with the truth that each horn runs parallel with the other, and also that each horn has a dual internal nature, marks the beginning of the unsealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unsealed truth includes unsealing the hidden history of the seven thunders, and also the definition of the Hebrew word truth. When the last period of the Seven Thunders was recognized to represent the three waymarks of the first disappointment, followed by the message of the midnight cry, and then concluded with the great disappointment, in agreement with the Hebrew word truth, the revelation marking July 18, 2020, which is the perfect fulfillment of the message of the midnight cry leading to the Sunday law, was then established. The Seven Thunders had been identified before July 2023 as the parallel history of the First Angels Movement and the Third Angels Movement, but the final three-step period had not at that time been considered as a specific period represented as the Seven Thunders. Now that recognition is established, truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ is unsealed just before probation closes, and it includes the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. The revelation of Jesus Christ includes the hidden history of the Seven Thunders. The revelation of Jesus Christ includes the enigma that the eighth is of the seven, that in turn identifies the transitioning of the Millerites unto Laodicea with the parallel transitioning of the 144,000 into Philadelphia. The eighth being of the seven also represents a prophetic expression of the image of the beast test, because both the Republican and Protestant horns meet their conclusion when the Republican horn produces a political image of the beast, in contrast to and in controversy with the true Protestant horn forming an image of Christ, who are then lifted up as the ensign. These truths began to be unsealed at the end of July 2023, and all these truths represent prophetic history that is fulfilled in the hidden history, which is that portion of the prophecy of Daniel that relates to the last days. We therefore have a prophetic structure of the hidden history of verse 40 from the time of the end in 1989 unto the Sunday law of verse 41 that allows us to place verses 1 and 2 of Daniel chapter 11 on top of. We then can place verses 10 through 15 within the same line. We then can take the line of the Maccabees that, correctly understood, begins in verse 13 and continues until verse 23 into the same line. We can then take the line of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 12, into the same line. With the two witnesses of Daniel and Revelation, we have a structure of the hidden history of verse 40. In 1989, the Soviet Union was swept away by an alliance between the papacy and its proxy army, the United States. When the Soviet Union was disassembled by Gorbachev, the time of the end for the 144,000 arrived. Ronald Reagan was the first prophetic king of the United States from the time of the end. Reagan, an apostate Protestant Republican represented by King Darius, was followed by Cyrus, then three other kings, then the fourth rich king. King Cyrus represented Bush the First, a professed Republican globalist who was followed by the Democrat globalist Clinton, who was followed by the professed Republican globalist Bush the Last, who was followed by the Islamic Democrat globalist Obama, who was followed by the richest president of them all, an apostate Protestant Republican, Donald Trump. In 2014, the Ukrainian war between Russia and the papacy's Nazi proxy army began, with the former proxy army of the papacy, the United States, providing support for the Ukrainian proxy army. In 2014, the movement of Future for America was infiltrated by representatives of the Dragon. And in 2015, Donald Trump began the first of three presidential campaigns he would accomplish. He was victorious in his first campaign, but his middle campaign was stolen, and in his last campaign, he will be victorious again. In 2020, both the Republican horn received a deadly wound as the election was stolen, and the true Protestant horn received a deadly wound by proclaiming a false prediction, brought about in part by the infiltration that began in 2014. And which stole the message through the introduction of a variety of false prophetic applications. In 2020, an election and a prophetic message were stolen, and both horns were symbolically slain by the representatives of the dragon. The election was stolen by the twofold alliance of professed Republican globalists and globalist Democrats, supported by a globalist propaganda media and globalist merchants. The message was stolen by a diminutive unmarried girl from Down Under and a diminutive divorced boy from Wales, whose hidden agenda was to introduce and promote the gay agenda and apologize to the man of sin. The leader of Future for America bears all the blame for the satanic infiltration, for he had responsibility to protect the movement, but he was too willing to allow unsanctified messengers to take a position of leadership. Donald Trump is to blame for the stolen election. For those he chose to allow within his inner circle of power were purposely undermining the work he had taken up. In 2022, Donald Trump began his third campaign. And in 2023, a voice crying in the wilderness began sending a message to the churches. Recently, a stone, which I define as those outside of present truth, cried out, who is perhaps the sharpest mind in the current political environment of the public arena, stated some very insightful truths. His name is Victor Davis Hanson, and if you are following the events taking place around you and comparing those events with the predictions of his word, then Victor Davis Hanson is one of the stones who is echoing the very message you are hopefully studying. God would have us study the events that are taking place around us and compare them with the predictions of his word, in order that we may understand that we are living in the last days. We want our Bibles, and we want to know what is written therein. The diligent student of prophecy will be rewarded with clear revelations of truth, for Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Signs of the Times, October 1, 1894. In an interview posted by @FrasiaTart on X.com, Hanson started by stating, "They, the Democrats, look at Trump as a vampire." He goes on by addressing the Democrats' fear of Donald Trump being elected again. I have no reason to believe that Hanson understood that according to Revelation chapter 11, Trump is resurrected as a vampire, and that when that happened, those who had previously rejoiced in his death would be fearful. Yet that is what he identifies in his whole commentary. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation 11:11. We will continue this study in the next article. We have reached the period foretold in these scriptures. The time of the end is come, the visions of the prophets are unsealed, and their solemn warnings point us to our Lord's coming in glory as near at hand. The Jews misinterpreted and misapplied the word of God, and they knew not the time of their visitation. The years of the ministry of Christ and his apostles, the precious last years of grace to the chosen people, they spent in plotting the destruction of the Lord's messengers. Earthly ambitions absorbed them, and the offer of the spiritual kingdom came to them in vain. So today, the kingdom of this world absorbs men's thoughts, and they take no note of the rapidly fulfilling prophecies and the tokens of the swift coming kingdom of God. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. While we are not to know the hour of our Lord's return, we may know when it is near. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-6. The Desire of Ages, 2:35.